Hello, nature lovers. Welcome to the Loudoun Wildlife Conservancy podcast. This is a podcast about wildlife, habitats, and happenings right here in Loudoun County, Virginia, with ideas and activities for you to get outdoors and explore nature. I'm Nicole Hamilton, and this is episode number 14. Today we're going to talk about groundhogs, and then I'll give a quick update on upcoming programs and activities. So groundhogs. You've also heard them called by other names, such as a woodchuck. And maybe you even sang that rhyme. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? I'm still not sure about the answer to that one. I just remember singing it a lot when I was a kid, and I probably drove my mother kind of crazy with it. But anyway, groundhogs are pretty neat animals, and I bet all of us have seen them either by the side of the road or perhaps in your own yard. Groundhogs are in the squirrel family, which is kind of interesting. You know, they're obviously bigger than squirrels, but are definitely in that same family. We had a groundhog here at our house that lived for a few years, and it had babies, and we watched them grow and play. And I think she passed away about 2 years ago, so we didn't see her for a while. But then this year, we finally had a new one take up residence, and I saw it yesterday, so that prompted me that this might be a good topic for today and think about all the different things that this little groundhog is going through. So, groundhogs are vegetarians, and they have two long chisel-shaped incisors teeth. They have sturdy claws that help them dig, and they have a very keen sense of sight, smell, and hearing. Groundhogs spend most of their time underground in their burrows, which have one main entrance, but as many as four additional entrances that they use either to come and go or to escape predators. And you may see these entrances to their underground burrows on just a variety of different spots, like sometimes they're on well-drained slopes, sometimes they're hidden in rocks or tucked away next to tree stumps, places like that. So if you're out on a nature hike, keep an eye out for these little burrow entrances. All groundhog burrows are built in basically the same layout. They start by digging into the ground several feet, and then they make an incline and tunnel upward for a few feet, and then they proceed to make horizontal tunnels for 15 to 25 feet. They engineer them in this way, most likely to keep the tunnels from flooding. Smart little groundhogs. So from the main tunnel, they dig two or three side tunnels. One is used exclusively for the bathroom, and the groundhogs, which are very clean animals, use only this area for their waste. In fact, once their bathroom area is full, they seal it off and dig a new bathroom area. Sometimes they'll even clean out dried excrement by taking it out of the tunnel and burying it somewhere away from their burrow. So that's pretty neat. The other areas of the burrow are used as the actual den. These are specific areas for raising their kits, sleeping, and of course hibernating. Adult groundhogs weigh 11 to 12 pounds, but they can also get up to be about 14 pounds, about the weight of a good-sized cat, although I have to say some of our cats are a little bit heavier. But the weight that they put on in the late summer and early fall is really the weight that's most critical to their survival, since they'll be living solely off of their fat reserves throughout the winter hibernation. So if you see one that's in the fall and it looks kind of roly-poly, that's probably a nice healthy groundhog. Groundhogs live 4 to 5 years in the wild, but up to 10 years in captivity. They live in open woodlands, thickets, and open fields. They'll also change their habits a bit by the season. And while they don't stray any more than about a half mile from their burrow, they'll spend more time in open fields and backyards during the spring and summer, and then in the fall and early winter, they'll spend more time in the wooded areas. As I mentioned earlier, they are vegetarians, and most of their favorite foods include things like dandelions, clover, weeds, grasses, different fruits, and vegetables, of course. I can also say from personal experience that they like nuts and seeds, too. I have a place that I put sunflower seeds and peanuts out on the ground for the birds, but then others also come to see what I've put out, and the groundhogs definitely seem to enjoy this tasty treat. So you can always see what groundhogs are up to by putting out a little bit of food for them and watching their behaviors. They'll also come to your vegetable garden, and this is where some of the human and groundhog conflicts tend to arise, but there are definitely some ways to exclude them from your garden through putting up a fence and some other things like that, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. So if you need to have a solution, there are a variety of them. Outside of the garden conflict, man is the groundhog's greatest threat. Most injured groundhogs that are brought into wildlife rehabbers have been either hit by cars or actually attacked by dogs. Dogs are probably their biggest predator outside of being hit by cars and that sort of thing. The groundhogs can run, but they can't outrun a dog that is chasing them. So if you have a dog and you've got groundhogs, try to keep the dogs from being inquisitive about the groundhogs and that sort of thing. So let's take a look at the life of a typical groundhog over the course of a year. As I started researching this, I also got to thinking, what would the life of a typical person look like over the course of a year? But that's certainly a post for another day. We'll stick with the groundhogs today. Anyway, our groundhog. So most males come out of their burrows in mid to late February. This isn't exactly in sync with our plans for February 2nd and Groundhog Day, but oh well. Whoever came up with the idea of Groundhog Day probably should have checked with the groundhogs first to see if they'd be out and about. February 2nd is just a bit early for them. But anyway, males are out and about in the mid to late February, and then females emerge from their burrows in late February to early March. They emerge 40% skinnier, looking for food and a mate, and in fact the males will go on a little bit of a romp to sniff nearby burrows and try to find some females. So that's what's happening in that time of the year. From late February through early March, groundhogs are mating, and then they proceed to eat and eat. After the winter hibernation, they need to put the weight back on and also be healthy enough to raise their young, which are born at the end of April. This may sound like a short breeding season, and indeed it is, but they have to hurry because their young need to have enough time to grow and put on enough weight themselves to be able to survive the winter. As it turns out, the kits are born after April. The ones that are born after April typically don't survive because they don't have enough time to grow and put on weight. So it's pretty important for the parents to be mating early and having their babies early and having the babies actually born pretty early by the end of April. So about, I guess what I've read is about 28 to 30 days after mating, 3 to 6 little groundhog kits are born. The females care for the young, transforming their hibernation chambers into a nursery where the babies will be comfortable and safe. They're 4 inches long and weigh about 1 ounce when they're born, and they're blind and they have very short, fine whiskers. Within about a week, they have short, fine hair, and at 20 days in this big, bright world, they open their eyes. By about 6 weeks, they're about 10 inches long, and they weigh about 8 ounces. About this time is when they also start to follow their mother around. The mother will emerge from the burrow, check for enemies, and if there are any threats, she will call out a shrill whistle of alarm, and all the babies will head back in. If the coast is clear, she'll lead them out for their first big adventure into the brave new world of your backyard or wherever else they happen to live. The mother groundhog teaches her young everything that they need to know to survive, including a variety of whistles to communicate danger to each other. They don't generally live with a lot of groundhogs around, not like prairie dogs. They have a very different kind of society, but they do use whistles to communicate. So, especially when there's the mom and the babies, they'll do their communication this way at this time. Throughout this time, the kits have just been nursing from their mother, but once they've started coming out of the burrow and are following her around, she starts to force them to start eating grasses and other vegetable matter. This is a tough time for the mom since the kits prefer to nurse. It's a lot easier and, it must be tasty. But she pushes them on and tries to wean them as quickly as she can, and she's chose them the really good places for food. In early June, the groundhog's metabolism begins to slow, and they start to eat less, but at the same time, they're putting on a lot of weight. And so as their metabolism slows, they're able to change over the food that they're eating into fat reserves, and they'll actually increase their weight by 100% during this period. July is the period of highest weight gain. Their metabolism is slowed, and the foods they eat are converted right into fat so that they can make it into the winter. Once the young are ready to leave home, a gradual departure occurs. First, the young will make temporary burrows that are made within about 300 feet of the mother's burrow, and she'll keep a watchful eye on them during this time. But eventually, the young become more independent and move on to establish their own territories. One neat thing to see, and is a bit comical, is when a groundhog decides it needs to climb a tree. I remember the first time I saw it. Actually, my husband came in the house and he said, "There's a groundhog in the tree." And I said, "Silly husband, groundhogs don't live in trees." But I went on out and we checked it out, and indeed, there was one in a tree. And at first I was kind of worried that it might get stuck. But it went up about 30 feet or so. And so you may ask, so why did the groundhog climb the tree? Well, they do it both to escape predators, but then also just to relax and bask in the sun while being nice and stretched out on a branch. And it's not really uncommon thing for them to do, but we don't see it that frequently. So if you do, it's kind of just fun to watch them laying around there and kind of in a different sort of position. So that's kind of fun. In September, about 2 weeks before going into hibernation, the groundhogs stop eating altogether. This cleans out their system and prepares them for their slumber. By mid-October, they will be asleep in their burrows. Also, prior to winter, you may have seen groundhogs out gathering grasses and other soft material. They use this to line their chambers so that they have a comfortable place for their winter sleep. Groundhogs are true hibernators. Their body temperatures will drop down to 40 degrees, whereas during the rest of the year, their body temperature is about 100 degrees. While in hibernation, they will appear more dead than alive and will not even awaken if they're touched. They'll stay in this state through January and early February until the next cycle of their life begins. If you or someone you know has groundhogs living with you and you'd rather not have them, there are some humane things that you can do. Personally, I think groundhogs are neat and we enjoy having them in our yard, but I know that's not the same for everybody. Sometimes groundhogs will create their burrows under a porch or an outbuilding, and while there's nothing really wrong with this, some people just aren't comfortable with it. One thing that can be done to encourage groundhogs to move on is to leave a beach ball in the area near their burrow so that the beach ball moves around, and for whatever reason, this makes the groundhogs uncomfortable. Another deterrent is to put up a pinwheel or a scarecrow next to the entrance of the burrow. The groundhogs don't seem to like these either. Rehabbers report that they get numerous calls from people with horses, and they're worried that the horses may step into a groundhog hole and break a leg. But reports from people who have horses, according to the the Wildlife Rescue League of Virginia, people are saying that the horses are actually pretty smart and they tend to avoid the holes. So things are all actually fine from that perspective. The main complaint about groundhogs is that they get into the vegetable gardens. However, you can put up some fencing about 3 to 4 feet high, and that can actually work quite well. The fencing needs to either be buried about a foot into the ground to prevent the groundhog from tunneling under, or it needs to be buried about 4 inches down, but then also have a horizontal piece underground that goes out about a foot, so that if the groundhog tries to burrow down in, they hit that little barrier and think that they can't go any further. So if you do have this kind of problem, I'll post along with this podcast a tip sheet on some things to do about keeping groundhogs out of your vegetable garden. And there are some diagrams and drawings that explain a little bit better probably than I can about how to go about this. If you do set up a fence, one of the tips I read is that you'll want to leave it a little bit loose so that if the groundhog tries to climb up and go over, it'll be a little bit wobbly and they won't feel so comfortable making the climb. So that's the scoop on that. Another thing you could do is just grow lots and lots of vegetables so that there's enough for you and the groundhogs. And remember, the groundhogs do slow down their eating in the June period anyway, so maybe you'd have enough for everybody. Groundhogs do play an important role in our environment. Their abandoned burrows serve as homes for other animals like raccoons, skunks, foxes, and opossums, and their digging helps to loosen up the soil so that water can better be absorbed by the earth, especially after one of those big rains. Plus, they're fun to watch and are just kind of neat in their own right. So I guess that's about all I have on groundhogs for now. A few updates on programs and activities coming up. This Saturday, we have our monthly bird walk at the Blue Ridge Center for Environmental Stewardship, and we'll definitely see warblers, some indigo buntings, orioles, and other spring arrivals. It starts at 8 a.m., and we'll meet at the Visitor Center, and you'll want to bring your binoculars. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of our Loudoun Wildlife Conservancy podcast. I hope you enjoyed learning about groundhogs and all the crazy things they do, all their burrows and all that. I love having them in our yard, and I'm looking forward to watching this new one take up residence with us. Feel free to leave any comments you have on this podcast on the blog. I'd love to hear about your groundhog encounters and any sort of antics that you happen to see them doing. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you along the trails.